About masculinity and femininity, but not quite that broad. We've just asked the question, what does it take to be a man? And as we think of Scripture, the Bible clearly makes a distinction between the male and the female. And what we noted was this, and if you can picture an umbrella, and under this umbrella, we have responsibility that the male has. Andrew? He's going to go. You got to love the grandkids, huh? Okay. One nice thing about grandkids, though. They think they own the place. No matter what place, they own it, right? And so you gotta love that. But as we, not always, I guess, but as we think of an umbrella, and there is three things that we put under that umbrella, and one was to be a man, you show leadership. And we look back at the creation of Adam and Eve, and we noted that Eve was created to be Adam's helper. There was a difference. God never told Eve not to eat of the fruit, but He did tell Adam. And it was Adam's responsibility to lead Eve in the right direction, and not necessarily to be led. And so we have... really, in the garden, the first, how can I put this and sound politically correct? We have the first evidence of the women's lib movement. Eve started it, and it didn't turn out too good. Well, and I would suggest to you this, it didn't turn out too good then, and it's still not going to turn out too good today. God has created roles, and it's important that those roles be honored and respected. And so as we stop and we think of the responsibility that the male has, and I might just say that this goes beyond marriage, and again, if you're a young girl here and you think you might get married someday, take notes, at least mental notes, and take some of these points down. Because there are three areas of responsibility that we see that God has given to the male. And one is leadership. And last week we looked at leadership that the male should provide. And the first area of leadership is this, bringing honor to God, obedience to God, moving in the right direction spiritually. And I might just say, girls, and for you who are too old, and I know that whenever we talk about a topic like this, we all have, how can we put it, little skeletons, or we may have something in our past that we are not proud of. However, as we stop and we consider what the Word of God has to say, just because you made a mistake in the past doesn't mean that things can't get corrected, and it doesn't mean that you cannot influence your children or grandchildren in the right direction in the future. The Word of God is very good at that, and God is a God of grace and mercy. And if anybody can put Humpty Dumpty back together again, it's God. And He can do that. He is the fixer of all problems. And so as we stop and we consider leadership, it's important. And write this down, girls and mothers, for your children. You can use a stoplight if you want to. What do we have? Red, yellow, green. I think that's the order. Red, yellow, green. And if you are dating a guy who is not interested in the Word of God, who is not interested in obeying God, He may be from a Christian family. He may not be. But I would say this, at least put the yellow light on. Does that make sense? And if there is a rebellious heart towards the Word of God, then from yellow it goes to red. And you just say, adios. Make sense? Leadership. It's very important. There's two other areas that the male is given responsibility for, and that is to provide and to protect. And as we stop and we think of provision and providing, naturally the first thing that comes to mind is if you're going to get married and you're going to have a family, husband, it's your responsibility to provide for your family. Now I got to make a few qualifications to that because it is not anti-scriptural for the wife to help in that provision from time to time. There are times when the wife needs the help in the provision. I would say this, that if there's an accident and your husband ends up in a wheelchair, you may be in a situation where you need to help provide. That doesn't mean your husband is any less of a man. Does that make sense? But what we have is we have a responsibility. There may be another situation where, and this one I kind of remember because when I got married, my wife was 1 year older than me. And she graduated with a nursing degree before I graduated. And we got married when she graduated. In fact, when I proposed and gave her the ring, I gave it to her as a birthday present, a graduation present, and a proposal. And I figured I killed three birds with one stone. And my family told her, that should have been a sign to you. Run. And I thought I was thrifty. But I did something else one time, too, before that. I was away at school, and I sent a valentine of chocolates. This is before we were married. And it was a nice, pretty box, and it was full of chocolates, and it was heavy. And as you know, if you're shipping anything any distance, the heavier it is, the more it costs. So I figured, you know, if I was there in person, she would share these with me. So I'm going to take my half up front, and then I'll save on the shipping cost. And again, my parents came to the rescue and said, you did what? And they advised her to run. Well, she didn't. And I don't know why I tell those stories, but before I proposed to her, I went and asked her dad and told her what I was going to do and asked his permission. They liked me, I guess. But he said this. He said, well, what are you going to do about your schooling? And I said, well, we've kind of got this budget figured out, and I drove a school bus at the time before and after classes and worked my way through college. And she was going to work, and we were going to take care of the place. And we even bought a duplex and was hoping the other half would help pay for the house. And we had this all worked out. And he says, well, I know of a person whose wife put him through school, and as soon as he was done, he divorced her. And I just heard another pastor mention the same thing, that his this guy, his wife put him through graduate school. And as soon as he got done with graduate school, he got his diploma and turned around and handed her papers, her walking papers. And she put him through school. So let me just give a word of caution, girls. Be careful if you're going to support your husband going through school. Make sure that's a yellow light. Does that make sense? Okay? That's a yellow light. And not saying it didn't work out. I would like to think it worked out for me. I did not do that when I was done with school. In fact, when we had our first kid, I asked my wife this. Well, do you want to work and me take care of the kid, or do you want me to work and you take care of the kid? And I knew what I wanted to do. And she says, are you kidding? You get to work. I don't trust you taking care of this, my kid. And you got a good point there. So, but what we talk about is this, is the male needs to take responsibility. Does that make sense? It's your responsibility to make sure things are working. In fact, when we think of a wife helping, I couldn't help but think of Proverbs 31. And in Proverbs 31, if you want to just look there quickly, you talk about a working wife. Actually, to tell you the truth, I don't know when this woman slept. Proverbs 31, in verse 10, we read this. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then if we just drop down to verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her house is clothed. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings. Her husband is known, and he's also known because of his the way she dresses him. And she maketh fine linen and sells it. Verse 24, you wonder, is this superwoman? If anybody's read through this, I don't know anybody that could fit this particular bill. Point is that in leadership, if a man holds down a woman from developing herself or makes her totally dependent upon him, I would say back off of that. That's my opinion. Does that make sense? In fact, one of the interesting things is this, is that men, you might not be around. In fact, I advise statistically, if you want to die at the same time with your spouse, men, you should marry someone 3 to 5 years older than you. Statistically, you'll die at the same time. If you marry someone 3 to 5 years younger than you, then statistically, your wife will be a widow for 6 to 10 years. And if you visit rest homes right now, the majority of people are what? Women, not men. And women live a little bit longer statistically. And so point is this. Men, have you provided for your woman after you die? And there is nothing wrong with that. And there's ways to provide beyond just insurance. Does she have the ability to earn money that you have helped her and to make her way in the world? And so there is a physical need that's there to be provided for. And I might say this to girls. It's okay if your guy has a dream. Dreams are good, right? But if there's not a plan to go with the dream, then it's just a dream. And after you get married, You aren't going to be able to buy groceries with dreams. Try it sometime. I don't have any cash. I don't have any money. But my husband has a dream. How does that go? Oh, sure, as long as he has a dream. The dreamer. You can think about that yourself and be a little bit practical or pragmatic when it comes to that sort of thing. And if he has a dream and that's all he has, I kind of jotted down here, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be eating his dreams for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How do you know, young people, if you have a provider? It's a good question, isn't it? And here's a question. You know, a lot of times we go through tough financial times. Has any of you ever been broke in your life? And it's not unusual when you first get married that you're not very wealthy. In fact, you might be broke. So here's the thing. How can you tell if a person is going to be a good provider when they're broke? Well, here's the question. What do they do with their spare time? And if they're playing, what is this new game, Pokemon? I don't get it myself, but I was just heard something on the news this morning where there's 200 and some members in Wilmer. They're running around town. People are calling the cops playing. They're playing Pokemon. I don't get it, but listen. If you were working 20 hours a week and you're broke, and somebody else is working 100 hours a week because they're broke, I'll tell you what, the guy working 80 to 100 hours has got something going for him. Does that make sense? What are you doing about it? And I think it's wise that mothers tip their daughters off. And it's not just a matter of marrying for money. It's a matter of, is this person going to take responsibility for their lot in life? Are you with me on that? Does that make sense? And, you know, when we think of work today, I was thinking of our the pilgrims that came over. Do you know how many vacations the pilgrims took and how early they retired? I'll tell you what. They died with a hole in their hand. And they worked hard to make a life for them and their families. And today, you know, I think, in fact, I was in... I almost mentioned the name of the restaurant. It was a local fast food chain here in Wilmer. And I walked up and they had a special that ended at, or started at 2 o'clock. And I was there at 10:02. And she was friendly. And she said, I hope you're my last customer because I'm off at 2. Another guy walked in after that. That's what she was looking forward to, is when her shift was over. Not to do work. She didn't want to do work. So I'm sorry I showed up. I didn't know that all you were interested in is not serving customers. And I was thinking, wow, what a mentality, a work mentality that we have. And we in this country, I think, hurting us. Not a desire to work. Well, as we stop and we think of how you spend your spare time, let me move to the next one, and that's this. How do you know if you have a protector? And as we stop and we think of a protector, the first thing that typically comes to mind is this, is physical. Do I protect physically? And my guess is this, that most guys would probably, if somebody came up, if you were on a date or you're out with your wife, if somebody came up and started to physically attack or assault your wife, you would probably stand up for her. Would you? And as we stop and we think of that, I would hope that a man would actually stand up and protect any woman. If there's some terrorist attack, let's go into action. So, and by the way, if you're out on a date and somebody attacks you and your date girls runs and hides, that's a red light. Dump that guy. But does he take responsibility? And I would say this, that when it just comes to physical and physical abuse, if you go out with a guy and he hits you, red light, just stay away. And that guy's got some growing up to do. But as we stop and we think of protection, there's the non-physical side of protection. And as we stop and we think of protecting your woman non-physically, what about the reputation? Will you protect her reputation? And I'll tell you what, if a guy brings a girl home at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning, and especially if they wake up the neighbors doing it, what does that say? There's no regard for the reputation of that young lady. If you go out with a guy and he trashes your parents, or if he doesn't protect the other relationships that you have in your life, like your family. And I'll tell you this, there's a lot of guys who will make fun of parents. It's kind of a in thing to do anyway, isn't it? Aren't your parents a bunch of old, the term when I grew up was old fogies. I don't know if they call them that anymore. What do they call them? I don't know. But you get the point, you old fogies. All right? I'm going to tell you something. The relationship that children have with their parents is an important one. And if your daughter dates a guy who is going to trash your parents, that's probably not just a yellow light. That's a flashing yellow light that's turning red. Does that make sense? Protection. Protect the other relationships in your family. In fact, I think that that's kind of a control technique that good leaders don't need to have try to destroy the other relationships that a person might have. How about your virtue? And we live in a day when, how can I put this politically correct, having intimate relationships, how about that, is just the order of the day. In fact, it's assumed that that's what's going to happen. And I might just say, in fact, I was kind of interested in the word virtue. We read this in our scripture this morning. The word virtue, if you look it up in the Latin, it's a Latin word. The word vir is male. When you think of the word virtue, do you think of a girl or a man? And the word means maleness. Having virtue is a virtue that a man should have. And as you think of protecting the virtue, not that women shouldn't be virtuous, they should. In fact, that word has been translated in our scripture in regards to that. And as we stop and we think of protecting virtue, very important that that protection is there. And I might just say that if a guy doesn't care about a girl's reputation, doesn't respect their parents, doesn't respect her virtue, and just wants to get. Girls, yellow to red. Make sense? And you start looking elsewhere for a guy who shows these particular qualities. As we stop and we think, now I've tried to outline this for you, but the pictures aren't working right here, but you can see a man. and what makes up a man. Three qualities: leadership, protection, and provides. And they take responsibility for these particular areas. And while it's easier to apply these to marriage, I might just say that those qualities of being a man apply and go beyond just marriage. Men should be providing leadership. Men should be providing protection. I was thinking even at the school, and I know some of you would find it hard to believe that I would ever say anything like this, but up at the college, I have actually told women that I'm growing, I'm trying to become liberated, would you hold the door for me? And they give me dirty looks. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, and I think I mentioned this last week, it was wrong for a boy to hit a girl. Does anybody remember those days? It was something that a young boy would hold the door for a female. Does anybody remember those days? Today, women, you got to be careful that the door doesn't hit you in the face if you're following a young man. And where are the men? Where are these virtues that we have to look around and to provide some leadership? I mentioned in leadership last week, and this keeps running through my mind. How does a male respond when he makes a mistake? Does he blame others? Does he take responsibility? And pay attention to that. And as we stop and we think of respect, and I'll end with this right here. Girls, your mothers may have known this, but you know something? Guys will say and do anything to get what they want. By the way, that's a principle that's true with all of us with almost anything. We can justify what we want. And we'll do and say anything to get what we want. You ever notice that with your kids? If they want it, they're going to connive and they're going to get it. And girls, when it comes to guys, don't ever think for a moment. Don't ever trust a 20-year-old boy. They have one thing on their mind, and if there's anything else on their mind, it's just simply an addition to that. And as we stop and we think of treating you nice to get what they want, how can you tell if a person is really genuine and they're really genuinely nice? Let me just give you a little tip. Observe how they treat other women, including their mothers, including their sisters, including the waitress at a restaurant. How do they treat? Do they treat them with respect? And listen, I'm going to tell you something. You date a guy who smarts off to his own mother and treats his sister and kicks her around, don't think for a moment that your love is going to change him. Now, love can do a lot to change a person. The love of God can do that. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a long shot on your part. Does that make sense? And there are tricks, or I should say things that we can watch to do that. Next week, I'd like to talk about that just a little bit more. And I wish we had more of our young girls here, but maybe they don't want to hear this, all right? But we'll have our list, and you can have a notebook, and you can check them off. And you don't have to show that to any guy that you date, of course, but you've got a list. And if a guy doesn't get a passing score, just write him off. Does that make sense? Life's too short to be horsing around with a man who is not a man. And I'm going to say this to you as well. If men are not going to be men, it's very difficult for women to be women. And in our culture today, those distinctions are being broken down. The Word of God is not being adhered to. Men are not men. Women are not women. And instead of having complementary relationships, what do we have? We have competitive. And even our politicians pit women against men. I want you to know that the Bible doesn't do that. It's very complementary. And Adam was not complete without Eve. She complemented Adam. And it's important for us to understand that this is not a competition. This is not men versus women. It is a complementary relationship to try to bring honor and glory to God. And I would like you to turn in your Bible, if you would, as we Ephesians chapter 5. And just close with this reference right here. Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, we read this. And I'm going to go back before verse 25 and just pick up this right here. In verse 15, we read this. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means to walk around. And as we stop and we think of stepping in it, if I can use that illustration. What Paul is saying is this. Christian, learn to be a puddle jumper. Does that make sense? You don't have to step in it all the time. Learn where you're walking. Not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we've defined the word evil, and it's godlessness. And I think you have to agree that God in our culture is being pushed out further and further and further. And the further God is pushed out, the more evil is going to be. The days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But, in contrast to that, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, it's interesting, verse 21 precedes verse 22. And as we stop and we think of Jesus Christ, who submitted Himself to our needs. Did you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Jesus Christ is called the head of every man? And the man is called the head of the woman. In the same verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, we have this order. And as we stop and we think of the head, Jesus Christ, He submitted Himself to our need. He did what was necessary and what was best for us. Let's read on in this passage. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For as the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. As we stop and we think of God's will for us, God loved us so much. Even though He's in charge, He's the boss, He submitted Himself so that we could be presented someday without spot and without blemish. He is concerned about promoting us in what is right in the righteousness of God. And you know what He says in verse 25? Husbands, you love your wives the same way Jesus Christ loved you and died for you. And can you imagine, women, can you imagine having a husband who loves you so much and is so concerned about your well-being, they would die for your enhancement. They would die for your future and for your betterment. Did you know that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us? If you're here and you're not sure why Jesus Christ died for you, let me tell you this. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die and take and pay the penalty for your sin. He became our substitute. That is good news. That is great news. And God offers to us eternal life. He offers to us forgiveness of sins. And He's free to do that, according to Romans chapter 3, because Jesus Christ paid for our sin. Sin was paid for. And God loves us. And He wants us to spend an eternity with Him forever in heaven and heaven. And as we stop and we think, is it to your benefit to submit to the love of God? I'm going to tell you this. It's to your eternal benefit to submit to Jesus Christ as your head. And husbands, if you're the man that God wants you to be, then your wife will be eternally better off by submitting to the leadership that you provide. It's an important responsibility. Agree? Real men take responsibility. Real men will submit themselves to God. Real men will provide the leadership that is going to bring righteousness into the lives of the women that they have the greatest effect on. Got it? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for Your love towards us.